Welcome to episode 18 of the E-Commerce Mindset Show with your host, Liran Hirschkorn. This is an episode that's kind of all over the place. I give you some tips as it relates to Amazon advertising, talk about an Amazon listing image strategy that you may want to implement. We talk about some news happening as it relates to Shopify and Walmart getting together, as well as some good questions you can ask yourself in your business to make improvements. The episode is brought to you by Incrementum Digital. You can check out incrementumdigital.com. That's our sponsored ads agency where we help you grow your business on Amazon, grow your sales, get more profits in your business through the power of Amazon advertising. You can also reach out to me directly on social media or email liran@incrementumdigital.com to talk to us more about managing your Amazon ads. Hope you enjoyed this episode 18 of the E-Commerce Mindset Podcast. So this past week, Walmart put out a partnership with Shopify. So it's kind of interesting to see this getting together between Walmart and Shopify, almost going to battle against the big behemoth of e-commerce that is Amazon, and they're coming together. So now, if you go to Shopify.com/Walmart, you'll see that you can integrate your Shopify store and become a Walmart seller through that integration there. Interestingly enough, in the release that Walmart put out, they said they're looking to acquire an additional like 1,200 sellers through this initiative, which sounds really small to me. But it's just interesting to see Walmart trying to court more third-party sellers and get more into the third-party seller space. You've seen that also this past year with them integrating and doing more with their ad platform. And so you kind of see this, evolution of Walmart really trying to go after Amazon. Whether or not they will succeed, is a good question. But you have seen other e-commerce platform gain market share during this COVID period. I think part of that was a result of Amazon Prime shipping not working the way it typically works with 1 and 2 day shipping. And so people started to go to Walmart and, other websites, Shopify benefiting also to purchase online and buy products. And so interesting to see if that will stick, if those people that do order or have ordered from Walmart maybe for the first time during this time that were typical Amazon customers will continue or to use and utilize Walmart and other channels outside of Amazon for e-commerce. So just interesting, something to watch if you've been thinking about selling on Walmart. Where will they be in 5 years? Is it going to be a mistake if you didn't sort of jump on the Walmart bandwagon, like people who jumped on the Amazon bandwagon early, or will Amazon continue to dominate? I think that's a good question. I don't think I have the answer, but I think it's worth paying attention to what's happening with Walmart as well as Shopify. I've seen an article also in the last week that Shopify does not ever want to become a marketplace. They want to be only, behind the scenes. Most consumers don't really know Shopify because it runs the back end of lots of e-commerce sites. But I don't think Shopify came out and said, the Shops app that we put out is really only for consumers to see stores they've bought from the past and to be able to see those stores again and kind of remind them maybe to go there and check out those stores again and buy again. But Shopify does not want to become marketplace type of provider. They just want to run in the back end, but they are making it easier for sellers now to be able to use fulfillment through Shopify. They bought a company last year, a big fulfillment company, and I think Shopify and Walmart are ones to watch. Definitely, if I was looking to make a step from whether to sell on Walmart first or Shopify, I'd probably go with Shopify first and try my own channel. So just some interesting things happening on that front. I want to jump to giving you a few tips relating to some things happening with Amazon advertising. So I've spoken before in the podcast, we've seen sponsored brand videos work very well. One thing that we've seen is that if we submit, upload a video and it gets declined, you know, my typical reaction would be, okay, let's go back to the video, try to find out what we did wrong, what Amazon may have rejected it for. And there's things that they will reject for, certain words you use on the text, as well as, you know, showing like 5-star reviews or using the Amazon logo. There's certain things that will always be rejected. But instead of doing that, if you don't have any of those things, I would just go back and try to resubmit. So we've seen we've seen success with just taking those videos that were rejected once and resubmitting them sometimes 3-4 times, and then they get approved. So I don't know if it's a manual approval on the back end or how it's working, but it seems to be a video can get declined once and then can get approved later on. So if you're submitting videos and it's not working, don't go necessarily to edit that video as your first thing. Just try resubmitting it a few more times over the next like day or so. Some new things that are out as it relates to Amazon advertising is sponsored. So we've seen success also with sponsored display product targeting ads, very low cost per click. I would encourage you to put a lot of ASINs in those ads. So my first thought initially was to take ASINs that have worked well from the auto campaign on the same product and that have worked well on a manual ASIN targeting campaign and take those and put them in the product targeting. But we're now really expanding that because to ASINs that haven't worked, to, you know, complementary products, competitor products, we're using tool we're using is the brand analytics to put in a keyword, find all the related keywords, download a CSV of a lot of ASINs and put them into these campaigns at like a low bid, like 25 cent bid, because we're seeing such low cost per click on these type of ads that, you know, you may get enough clicks where the ACoS is still good, and works for you and didn't work for you on a, ASIN targeting or within your auto campaign. So, test out product targeting within the product display, if you have that in your Seller Central account. Another thing that we're seeing is we generally have not had great results with the audience targeting within the product display. But there are, we've seen a few of our ad clients have a few options, searches, views, and purchases there. And we're going to test that out now. So searches is basically, so this is basically retargeting off Amazon, and searches is customers who have searched for a keyword related to your item. So retargeting those customers off Amazon. Then there's a segment now called views, which is customers who have viewed your product or a similar product. And then there's purchases, which is customers who have purchased your product. I particularly like the purchases one, especially if you have a product that people would buy, you know, a second or third time, some type of consumable product or, you know, a type of product like a journal, for example, right, that you might use and finish up and need to buy another one. Any consumable or any product people might buy again, I think it's worthwhile testing the purchases. Now, there's a big difference between the retargeting that's available within sponsored product display in Seller Central and what you're capable and what you could do with DSP, which is off Amazon, retargeting and targeting different segments. You have a lot more control there. For example, one of the things you could do there is you can target all customers who have bought my product in the last 60 days, don't target people who have bought the product in the last 30 days. So I only want to target you if you bought it in the past, but if you already bought it again, I don't want to already retarget it. You already bought the product. I don't need to pay for that click. So there's a lot more nuanced type of retargeting and competitor targeting that you could do with DSP. That's something that we do and we can manage. You know, I think Amazon, you see them in Seller Central going more and more, adding features, some of which are available in DSP, and adding more types of retargeting that you could do off of Amazon. Wanted to give you a tip related to listings. This is something I actually listened to the Seller Sessions podcast. This is a tip that I heard on there, so I'll give credit. the seller that was interviewed on the show was saying how he uses sort of like human psychology to try to increase his average order value, to try to get people to buy not just one of his products, but not just one unit of a product, but to buy two or more units. And one of the things that he's doing, and I guess the first question you would need to ask is, doesn't make sense for people to possibly buy two of my product instead of one? So as an example, if I'm selling a hanging plant, let's say, or something, or where you can grow a plant or something to that effect, it may make sense for people to buy two. They're going to put in two places in their house. Or if I'm selling a mug, maybe people would buy two, right? Or a set of, or four, or you know, if I'm selling it as a set of four, maybe they would buy two sets of four because they want to have eight. Certain products lend themselves to people possibly buying more than one unit. If it does, then one of the tips that he gave on the podcast was putting an image of your product that shows two units. So for example, if you're selling this plant on Amazon, then having an image of, you know, your living room and there's two of them, right, in the image. So it kind of puts into the mind of the person that, hey, maybe I want to have two. Obviously, you need to make it very clear in your listing title and in your main image that, you know, only one comes with it. And you don't want that buyer confusion and negative reviews as a result. I'm looking at my phone charger now, you know, that's sitting here right next to me while I record this. And I'm thinking, that's a great product where I want to have two, right? Maybe I want to keep an extra battery charger, one in my bedroom. Maybe I want to keep another one in my office, right? So maybe I would create some kind of image like, you know, buy two for every room in your house, or some kind of image that encourages people to buy more than one unit. Sounds like a good idea. According to that seller, he was able to increase his average order value and average unit count by putting in place this strategy. Want to point out some things that are happening inside of the Facebook group, the e-commerce mindset group. There's a link in every episode show notes to join the group if you're not a member. Had some interesting discussions there. There was a member who asked about taking an investor in your business and how to best structure there. I also posted a product photography brief that Jungle Scott put out. And then Chris Guthrie actually mentioned a company he's testing out right now called Suna, Suna.co, where you can actually send them your product and then you can attend the shoot virtually. And then you only buy the images that you like after the photo shoot. So pretty cool concepts. I want to also kind of hear his feedback with the process. He said he's got a booked appointment for attending the shoot virtually. I just thought that was cool and wanted to point it out. Maybe I'll ask those guys. I don't know them or have a relationship with them, but maybe I'll ask those guys to come on the podcast and talk about, you know, the benefits of being able to attend a photo shoot for your product virtually. I think that's a really cool idea. And then I'll leave you off with a blog post that I saw this week that had some good questions that you can ask yourself in your business. And I'll throw a few out here that might be helpful to you. So one question is, how can I 10x this, right? So it's not bad to think, you know, how can I improve by 10%, or how can I make a 1% incremental, even 1% incremental improvement in my business this week? What can I do? But I think sometimes thinking big forces you to innovate. Asking yourself, how would I think if I needed to 10x this business, what would I have to do in order to do that? I think asking yourself good questions can lead to some kind of breakthrough moments for you in your business. Another question that he had on the blog post was, what's the most fun way to do this? And I think it's a good question because I like to do the things in my business that I enjoy the most, that I have the most fun with. And when your work is fun, you'll just have more motivation to work longer, be more creative. You'll avoid burnout. So asking yourself, what's the most fun way to do this, whether that's bringing a new product to market or what your strategy is to launch a product. Is it going to be using influencers? Is it going to be using advertising? Like, what are you going to have the most fun with as far as how to get your product out or anything in your business? Another good question, what is my $1,000 per hour skill? So that kind of helps you focus on, you know, what are the things that I'm the best at in my business that drive the most results, and focusing on those things versus the other things that maybe are kind of a waste of time, and that you or things that you may be able to delegate. And along with that, you know, what 20% of my efforts give me 80% of my results? So another really good question, whether, again, in your business, what is that 20% of your efforts that give you 80% of your results? Is it, you know, product research? Is it negotiating with suppliers? Like, what are those things that you need to do in order? Is it making, you know, improvements to your products to make them even better, bring out a better version and get ahead of your competitors? Add more value. What are those things that that are 20% of your efforts that give you 80% of your results? And then the final good question, you know, we're often thinking about like what's in it for us, but thinking of what's in it for them, right? From a customer perspective, from who your customer is. When I bring out, and you know, I've always sort of asked, especially newer sellers that have asked me about like, hey, do you think this is a good product idea to bring to Amazon based on the competition? And I've always said to people, ask yourself this question, why would somebody buy it from you, right? Being on the first page is not necessarily a good enough answer, especially if there's a lot of other people that have, you know, a lot more reviews than you when you launch a product and you aren't differentiating. So being able to ask yourself, why would somebody buy from me, I think is a critical question. And along with that is like, what's in it for them? Thinking ultimately from the customer perspective of, you know, what's in it for them with your offering, with your product. The same thing if you're, you know, sending an email to your if you have a list of customers, when you're sending out an email, what's in it for them? Am I only asking for them to buy something, or am I also adding value in that email in some kind of way? And, you know, to talk a little bit about email marketing, I think you want to keep your emails to, you know, 70% content, 30% sales, right? And that's how you keep your emails where they're always adding value. You're still sort of, there still may be an ask, or there still may be something that you're trying to sell. But if you keep your, if you keep your emails to offering content, then even if you are trying to sell, people will not want to unsubscribe off your list because you're adding something of value. So I like to keep emails or think about emails from a 70-30 perspective, 70 content, 30% or valuable, something that could help whether or not they buy the product or not, and then 30% of sales. Anyway, I hope you kind of enjoyed this mashup, roundup of information relating to Amazon and e-commerce and business. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. Hope you got something out of this episode. Appreciate you subscribing to the podcast as well as sharing it with anyone you think may find it useful. And if you haven't yet joined our Facebook group, it's called E-commerce Mindset. There's a link in the show notes. See you on episode 19 of the E-commerce Mindset podcast.